Welcome to the weekly Krishna Consciousness Radio program. This is Krishna Kanta Devidasi. We welcome you to Shishiradagiridhari Temple on 1229 Coatesville Riverhead Highway, Kumyu, also known as Highway 12. Every Sunday, there's a Sunday feast program beginning at 12 p.m. with Aarti of their lordships, Shishiradagiridhari Bhagavan, followed on with a discourse in Bhagavad Gita, and then Guru Puja of ISKCON's founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, and ends with Prasadam at 2:30 p.m. As 2021 is Srila Prabhupada's 125th birth anniversary, the subsequent radio programs will be the readings from his Lila Amrita, from his biography called Srila Prabhupada Lila Amrita, written by His Holiness Satswarup Das Goswami. We will have Radha Padma Mataji doing the readings. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Reading from Srila Prabhupada Lila Amrita, Volume 1. A biography of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Continuing, Chapter 6. Why should he waste time with petty family problems when he held answers to the problems of India and the world? As a knower of Bhagavad Gita, he felt that his first obligation was to offer solutions to the complex crises of war, hunger, immortality, crime, all symptoms of godlessness. And if dedicating himself to such work meant that other lesser responsibilities suffered, then there was no loss. In March 1952, Abhay published another issue of Back to Godhead. It was dedicated mostly to a biographical article Abhay had written about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and his father, Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur. Quote, he, Bhaktivinod Thakur, vehemently protested against the principles of those pseudo-transcendentalists now passed in the name of Lord Chaitanya. He initiated the reformatory movement by literary contributions while he still engaged as a high government officer. During his householder life and serving as a magistrate, he wrote books of various descriptions in Bengali, English, Sanskrit, and etc. to present an actual picture of pure devotional activities to Lord Sri Chaitanya. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj got inspiration from his very childhood about all Srila Thakur Bhaktivinod's movement. He, worked as a private secretary of Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur, and as such Bhaktivinod Thakur gave him Srila Saraswati Thakur the transcendental power of attorney to espouse the cause of Lord Sri Chaitanya. And so after Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur's departure, Srila Saraswati Thakur took up reins of that reformatory movement. End quote. Absorbed in producing his monthly journal, Abhay went about his other activities only superficially. Sometimes he traveled on business or taking the night train from Allahabad to Calcutta, visited his family. When his compartment was not crowded, he would turn on a light while others slept. Riding a night train provided a good opportunity to think or even write. Sometimes he would sleep for a few hours and then sit up again and look out the window to see only night and the reflected lights of the train compartment shining back at him, the windows reflecting his face. Halfway through the 12-hour journey, the sky would lighten, turning from gray to light blue, and the first white clouds would appear in the sky. He would see lights in the towns and hear the train horn warning. When the train slowed and stopped at a station, tea vendors would walk alongside the train windows yelling, "Chai, chai, chai." The loud sing-song din filling the ears with chai and chai filling the air with its aroma as hundreds of passengers sipped their morning tea. During his more than 20 years of extensive train travel, Abhay had noticed more and more people smoking cigarettes and more women traveling alone. India was becoming westernized, and the national leaders were paving the way, the blind leading the blind. They wanted the kingdom of God without God. They wanted a progressive industrialized India without Krishna. From the windows, he could see large fields being left uncultivated. And yet, people were hungry. Abhay would sometimes read a newspaper and cut out an article that seemed to warrant a reply in Back to Godhead or that sparked an idea for an essay. He would deliberate over how to approach people for assistance, whom to approach, and how to start a society of Krishna-conscious devotees. People not only in India, but all over the world could take to Krishna consciousness. The Chaitanya Bhagavat had predicted that the name of Lord Chaitanya would one day be known in every town and village. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had wanted that. He had sent preachers to England, but they had only gained a protocol visit with the royalty, stood in line, bowed before the crown, and then come back to India without effecting any change in the Western people. Abhay thought about sending Back to Godhead abroad. His agents, Tucker, Spink, and company had contacts in America and Europe. People read English all over the world, and some of them would surely appreciate the ideas from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. This was what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had wanted. Krishna consciousness was not for India alone. It was India's greatest gift, and it was for everyone. Chapter 7, Jhansi, the League of Devotees. Quote, wanted candidates from any nationality to qualify themselves as real Brahmins for preaching at the teachings of Bhagavad Gita for all practical purposes throughout the whole world. Deserving candidates will be provided with free boarding and lodging. Apply. A.C. Bhaktivedanta, founder and secretary of the League of Devotees, Bharati Bhavan, post of P.O., Jhansi, U.P. End quote. Abhay Charande. It was another 12-hour ride with dozens of stops. The trains rattling and clattering and its rocking from side to side made writing difficult. But Abhay, crowded on the wooden bench with other third-class passengers, kept writing. Within the dingy compartment, passengers eyed one another complacently, and soot and dust blew in the open windows as the train sped along. Outside, past the monotonous embankment of loose stones, bright violet trumpet flowers bloomed on tall stalks in the shallow trackside ditches. Water buffalo and oxen grazed in the distance or sometimes pulled a plow before a solitary farmer. Abhay was going to Jhansi not for business but for preaching. 1 month before, in October of 1952, when Abhay had visited Jhansi on business, Mr. Dubey, a customer and the owner of a Jhansi hospital, had invited him to lecture at the Gita Mandir. Many Jhansi people appreciated things religious or humanitarian. whether from Vaishnavas, Theosophists, Mayavadis, politicians, or whatever. They regarded almost any path as dharma as long as it showed some edifying piety and tended towards the public welfare. Mr. Dubey had read with interest several issues of Back to Godhead and therefore requested Abhay to speak. Abhay had been eager, and he had found keen interest amongst the audience for more than 100 people, many of them young medical students and graduates from the local Ayurvedic college. Abhay was 56, and his commanding presentation of Krishna consciousness has impressed the young, religious-minded people of Jhansi. 25-year-old Prabhakar Mishra, principal of the Vedanta Sanskrit College and head medical officer of the Jhansi Ayurvedic University, saw that Abhay was very forceful in his desire to spread Krishna consciousness. Dr. Mishra regarded him as a kind of guru, although dressed in white. "Here is a humble person," he thought, quote, "a real sadhu," end quote. Short and stocky Dr. Shastri, just beginning his career in Ayurvedic medicine, was an active young man fascinated by Abhay's purity and his vision of the world movement for distributing India's culture. Older men like Tall Sov, Ramacharan Heyharan Mitra, a utensil shopkeeper who wrote poetry and wore a white Nehru cap, also wanted to learn more about Lord Chaitanya from Abhay. Dr. Malik, who was the Gita Mandir secretary, and Dr. Siddhi from the university, along with their wives, had sincerely approached Abhay after his talk and asked him please to visit Jhansi again. Abhay had come to them not as a pharmaceutical salesman or as a man with family concerns, but purely as a devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although the specific applications of Krishna consciousness as given by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati were new to his audience, these teachings had interested them. The more Abhay had expressed these teachings and spoken of his ambitions for spreading Krishna's message, the more his hearers had encouraged him. Several of them had suggested he conduct his mission in Jhansi, and they had promised to help him. Dr. Shastri had even invited Abhay to come live with him. He would introduce Abhay to important citizens and arrange for lectures in the various meeting places of Jhansi. After staying for 10 days, Abhay had returned to Allahabad, but remembering Jhansi, he had been able to concentrate on his business. Something more important was on his mind: the need for an association of devotees propagating the teachings and practices of Krishna consciousness worldwide. With the Gaudiya Math now broken into permanent schisms, his godbrothers conducting their own private ashrams in separate locales, apparently impervious to any reconciliation, something would have to be done if the overwhelming atmosphere of godlessness were to be corrected. There must emerge, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had envisioned, a league of preachers with activities worldwide. The nations of the world had sought unity through the League of Nations, recently through the United Nations. The League had failed, and so would the United Nations, unless it recognized the true spiritual unity and equality of all living beings in terms of their intimate relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Abhay did not expect any good to come of such organizations. Although they wanted peace and unity, their attempts were simply another feature of godlessness. No, creating peace and unity was the duty of Vaishnavas. So, Abhay had been thinking that perhaps a likely place to start an organization of devotees would be Jhansi. It wasn't a major city, but at least he had found concerned people. The students had listened and accepted and had said they would help. Abhay had sensed a certain lack of sincerity and depth in their appreciation, and a sentimentality that made him doubt their seriousness. But if he could find a few or even one who was serious, then he would have a beginning. He wanted to preach. That was his mission. Besides, he was already getting older. If something were to begin, it should be now. So he would go to Jhansi again to stay for an indefinite duration, without much concern for his Allahabad affairs. Abhay left his pharmaceutical business with his son and nephew, informing them that he was going to Jhansi. As the train pulled into the station, Abhay saw Dr. Shastri waving energetically. They rode together by Tanga to Dr. Shastri's dispensary, and the talkative, effusive doctor promised many preaching opportunities and interviews. Dr. Shastri also spoke of the lore of Jhansi, the site of the present city that had formerly been a part of the forest in which Lord Ramachandra had practiced austerities many thousands of years ago. The Pandavas had lived here during their exile, and since then, many great Vedic sages had had their hermitages in the area. Jhansi had also been the home of an Indian heroine, Lakshmi Bai, who in the mid-19th century had taken part in starting the Indian independence movement against the British regime. Statues and pictures of Lakshmi Bai riding a horse and holding a sword in her upraised hand were displayed throughout the town. But the Jhansi of 1952 was a crowded, poor city with dirt streets and minimal technological amenities. Dr. Shastri lived alone in a two-story rented building in Jhansi's Sipri Bazaar. On the first floor, he had his clinic and upstairs his one-room residence, which he had offered to share with Abhay. The young but influential doctor was a good person to introduce. Introduce Abhay to receptive citizens of Jhansi, and he was eager to do so. Outgoing and energetic, he moved easily amongst the people of his town. He was respectful towards Abhay, who was twice his age and whom he appreciated as being firmly fixed in the Vaishnava philosophy and way of life. Dr. Shastri saw it as his duty to help Abhay, and he gladly introduced Abhay to others and arranged for lectures. Abhay and Dr. Shastri would cook and eat together like family members. Abhay revealed his idea for a League of Devotees, an organization with worldwide scope but based in Jhansi. The citizens of Jhansi, he said, should all take part in helping spread Lord Krishna's mission. Lord Chaitanya had said that Indians have a special responsibility to distribute God consciousness, both in India and around the world. Dr. Shastri, quote, "In his heart, always, it was burning that the whole world was suffering in the materialistic view. Everyone is busy in eat, drink and be merry. So the whole world he was touring and preaching his mission that was prescribed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his Guru Maharaj. He was having iron will determination and self-confidence about his mission. He was not doubtful at all. He was dridavrata, staunchly determined. Actually, he was always preaching, Hare Ranam, Hare Ranam, Hare Ranam, Eva Kevalam, Kalau Nasti, Eva Nasti, Eva Nasti, Eva Gatir Anyatha. No other way except Hare Krishna Nama. So, always discussing, sometimes the whole night he was discussing with me. And sometimes I was fed up. I was requesting, quote, please don't disturb me, please let me sleep. And he, the old man, missionary worker, was just like a young man. I was a young chap, and he was just like my friend, my elder brother. He was like my guide and teacher, because the preacher is a friend, philosopher, and guide. He was always trying to create a good atmosphere through Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. The whole Bhagavad Gita was his practical life. His mission was not a mission of preaching only, but of practical action. He was also trying to catch me for his mission. For this mission, and I would try to slip away. I did not think that he would do any miracle for spiritual revolution of the world, although that is what he urged us." End quote. While Dr. Shastri tended his clinic, Abhay sat and spoke with patients occasionally, recommending medicines but mostly preaching. For now, he was content to live and preach in Jhansi. Here was life, people receptive to his preaching. And determination the people receptive to his preaching who responded to his urging them to chant Hare Krishna. His desire and determination to leave everything else behind and preach day and night, depending on Krishna for the result, were increasing. He began regularly lecturing and chanting at various programs in the city, sometimes at several in one day. On Sundays, he would lecture at the Sadhana Mandir, another day at the Gita Mandir, another day at the Theosophical Society, and regularly in people's homes. Mr. Ram Mitra, the shopkeeper poet, maintained a Shiva temple near his home, and Abhay began to perform kirtan and lecture there. Sometimes, Mr. Mitra would speak in Hindi on Bhagavad Gita at the Sadhana Mandir, and Abhay would attend. Sometimes, Abhay would visit Mr. Mitra at his utensils shop. The shop was in a crowded Jhansi Bazaar and opened onto the busy street. Abhay would sit down like an ordinary customer amid stacks of stainless steel buckets, plates, bowls and lotas and speak to Mr. Mitra and friends about Chaitanya Charitamrita. Or sometimes he would listen to Mr. Mitra tell about his published book of poetry and his literary reputation. Mr. Mitra saw that Abhay's ambition was no less than to make the whole city of Jhansi alive with Krishna consciousness. Abhay quoted Chaitanya Charitamrita, quote, "One who has received the great fortune of taking birth in India should make his life perfect and then do good for others by spreading Krishna consciousness," end quote. Quote, and Abhay would add, quote, "The whole world is waiting, Mr. Mitra, for our spiritual revolution," end quote. Mr. Mitra would nod, his handsome Nehru-like face forming a smile, but he saw that Abhay wanted people to do more than merely listen to him. He wanted them to do something. Once, Mr. Mitra offered Abhay a copy of his book showing him the foreword by a famous man, and he repeatedly mentioned that the great sadhu Vinoba Bhave had liked the poems very much. When Mr. Mitra learned that Abhay was a regular milk drinker, he began offering Abhay fresh milk daily from his cow, a black cow. And black cows, Mr. Mitra said, gave especially good milk. Abhay invited Mr. Mitra to accompany him on foot to nearby villages along with the kirtan party for preaching. But Mr. Mitra declined, being unable to get anyone to tend the shop for him. Another young Ayurvedic doctor was Dr. Siddhi, who immediately expressed interest in Abhay's enthusiastic plans for spreading Krishna consciousness. "Dr. Siddhi, he came several times to my place. I've got a kirtan room on my roof, and he performed kirtan there as well as at the Gita Mandir. We were also going daily to the Theosophical Society. There was an atmosphere, a very pious, sacred and calm atmosphere when the kirtan and the preachings and the lectures were performed. He used to play harmonium. We accompanied him for meeting people and preaching his mission. The main thing was to perform kirtan and give a lecture on the Bhagavad Gita and the life of Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was his lord and I also loved him," end quote. Radhilal Malik, secretary of the Gita Mandir and Sadhana Mandir, began meeting often with Abhay. Radhilal Malik, quote, "I was very much influenced by him. I used to spend 3 or 4 hours every morning in his association. He had many big scriptures. He was mainly concerned about the books about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was also writing at that time. The president of Gita Mandir and I both volunteered to cook for him," end quote. It was during a morning walk with Radhilal Malik that Abhay first spotted the Bharati Bhavan, a picturesque temple complex across from the large Antiya pond. The neighborhood known as Antiya Tal was quiet and sparsely populated, but it was near Sipri Road, the main thoroughfare between downtown Jhansi and Sipri Bazaar. Abhay inquired from Mr. Malik about the temple, and together they turned from the main road and walked down a slopping footpath that led through the main gates of the compound. There they found several secluded acres nestled within a grove of neem and mango trees. The main structure was the Radha Memorial. It was small like a chapel, but its proportions were stout and bold. Sitting on an octagonal stone base, it rose on 8 ornate pillars of red and white chipped marble on a stone dome at on top. Two elephants bearing the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, on their upraised trunks, decorated the entrance. Concrete bunting and stripped patterns of red, green and blue added to the decorative yet massive effect. The entrance was marked with the words Radha Smarak carved in Hindi script and above it the English translation Radha Memorial. When Abhay saw the Sanskrit inscription across the side of the stone temple, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, he turned to Radhelal Malik and said strongly, "The Lord has built this building for my use." From that moment, Abhay was determined to have the building. Mr. Malik explained that the temple had been built in 1939 as a memorial to a wealthy Vaishnav landowner, Radha Bai, who at the present was not in use. Dr. Prabhakar Mishra, whom Abhay had already met on several occasions, was occupying some of the rooms, but otherwise it was deserted. Mr. Malik and Abhay sought Dr. Mishra in his quarters in the main building. And when Dr. Mishra saw Abhay's enthusiasm, he invited Abhay to stay there with him. Dr. Mishra confirmed that except for this Sunday morning Gita class, the facility was sitting idle. And he welcomed Abhay to carry on his writing and preaching there. Abhay liked the idea. Immediately, he began thinking of uses for the buildings, surveying the land with increasing interest. A second larger building, also with stone pillars and facades, he held a hall and 5 rooms. Abhay made mental plans for each room. In this room, kirtans and lectures with large gatherings. In this room, the deity of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In these rooms, resident brahmacharis and sannyasis, guests here, an office there, the printing press here. There was even land for grazing a cow. It was a self-contained unit. Hundreds of people could come here for kirtan, prasadam and discourses. Preachers could go out from here distributing back to Godhead magazines. Some could even go abroad with Lord Chaitanya's message. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Kr Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram.